Honestly, why is it that every time a man takes you out to lunch around here, you're the dessert?
That's terrible.
It's constant from every corner. I'm from Bay Ridge. We have manners. Why can't they just leave it alone?
Because men always bother you all the time. They follow you down the street.
Well, not exactly.
Look, dear, I don't know you that well.
But you're the new girl, and you're not much, so you might as well enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, Peggy Olson and Joan Holloway often have a lot to say about the importance of looks in the workplace on the show Mad Men, but beauty bias certainly isn't reserved for 1963 or for fiction. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning. A new poll of corporate managers confirms what we've suspected all along. Looks matter, and they matter a lot. When Newsweek asked hiring managers to rank the most important attributes that would help you get a job, most rank looks at number 3, above education. Women are believed to be more affected by the beauty bias, but not always positively. In fact, 47% of respondents said a woman could be punished at work for being too good-looking. Here to talk about these results and her other work in this week's issue of Newsweek is Jessica Bennett, senior writer at Newsweek and co-author of the blog called The Equality Myth. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you did two separate pieces in this survey, right? You did a survey of hiring managers and a telephone survey of just regular
folks.
The
general public,
is that
yes.
Right? So before we jump into the specifics of what you found, can you tell us if there was a difference in how the human resources people perceived the role and how everybody else did?
Well, what we found from the general public survey was not all that surprising, kind of what you'd expect. You know, there is some discrimination when it comes to looks. There's some discrimination when it comes to weight and age. But what was really surprising was hearing from these hiring managers, the people that are actually sitting there looking over resumes, doing the hiring. And so we surveyed 200 of corporate hiring managers, and they ranged from human resources professionals to VPs to there was a CEO involved. And some of these statistics were really, really shocking.
Was there any embarrassment on their part on about sort of telling you? I mean, my guess would be that people would, you know, it's kind of like when you're on a jury and the judge says to you, now, would you be biased? And you kind of know you're not supposed to say yes, so
right.
You say no. So I'm wondering when you talk to these corporate hiring managers, did they have any qualms about saying, like, looks is more important than a Yale degree?
We should get out there that it was an anonymous online survey, so they didn't have to do that. And so I think that in some sense, they were probably more honest than they would have been if they were telling me directly. But I did talk to a few recruiters off the record, one of whom is quoted in here, and basically the bottom line was, this is the new reality of the job market. It's better to be good-looking and average than brilliant and unattractive.
So I see that the 60% of the hiring managers that you surveyed were men. How much does that factor in? Was there a difference between men and women hiring managers and what they said?
Well, we didn't ask separately based on men and women. I think that the 60% of hiring managers probably just reflects the fact that women are in lower positions in general in the workforce. So it wasn't distinguished. But I think that the 60% of men is telling in some ways. You know, the statistic that shocked me the most as it relates to women was that 61% of these hiring managers said that a woman would benefit in the workplace from showing off her figure. Yet at the same time, the statistic you mentioned, 46%, also said that a woman can be punished for being too good-looking. So I think that women in general definitely face a double bind when it comes to looks in the workplace.
Listeners, we want to conduct our own less formal survey. I'm here at the Brian Lehrer Show. What has been your experience with the beauty bias? We want your stories. Do you think good looks can be a disadvantage? Has that happened in your life where you've thought good looks have been a disadvantage or an advantage? And if you've done something like have cosmetic surgery to give your career a boost or maybe something less subtle, dye your hair, have your teeth straightened, let us know. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or you can share your story by going to our website at wnyc.org and clicking on the Brian Lehrer Show. You can also share your thoughts with us on Facebook at the Brian Lehrer page. And we do have some comments from Facebook. I'm going to read this one from Carlita. She writes, I'm way older than I look. When I started looking for work, I doubt anyone would have hired me for the various odd jobs I took if I looked as old as I was, inexperienced I was at the time. In my present day job, it's vital that people think I'm younger. And she adds, looking young is partly about the expression on your face and the way you hold yourself while you walk around. Nobody finds it easy to see potential in someone who looks old and bitter, whatever their age is. Now, I find that last line particularly interesting because old is associated with bitter. And I think that that reveals something about the way people think about age.
I think that we are a society that is obsessed with youth, and there's no way of getting around that. In this survey, 84% of managers said they would hesitate over hiring someone who is visibly older than another candidate. But I think at the same time, once again, women also have it harder. You know, when a man gets gray hair, he looks distinguished or he is like George Clooney and everyone thinks it's sexy. But it's not the same for women necessarily. And women who try to conform and look younger are, you know, given that horrible term, cougars. And those who don't are often ostracized.
In your article, you write that in all elements of the workplace, from hiring to politics to promotion, looks matter and they matter hard. There's an element of surprise that's conveyed in that. Were you surprised by these survey results?
I was. I mean, we've all heard the stories about how good-looking men make more money. Good-looking children get more attention from teachers. Even babies stare longer at good-looking faces. So there is a biological element to this. But what a lot of economists I spoke to said was that in the current economy, when employers have more choice than ever, looks matter more than ever because they have the option of choosing someone who's qualified and good-looking. And that was surprising to me.
I think that, you know, people who are listening to this who might be unemployed are probably sort of asking themselves, like, what should I do? You know, should I go out and get more education? Should I, you know, blow my money on a really great haircut? What do you think these results suggest?
I mean, I think that you have to look put together. And I think it also largely depends on the type of job you have. I think that in forward-facing jobs where perhaps you're a secretary that's greeting people or in sales, looks matter more than, say, a writer. But I think that they do matter. And while you need to look put together, we also need to remember that confidence matters for something, experience matters. And whether or not you should go enroll in Harvard or decide to get a nose job, you know, I wouldn't take it to that extreme. But they do matter, and I think that's the sad reality.
My guest is Jessica Bennett. She's a senior writer at Newsweek and co-author of a blog called The Equality Myth. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, and we have a lot of calls, so we're going to start taking them. Amanda from the Bronx. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to comment to the effect of what she had mentioned previously, that it can be often a double-edged sword for women when they are perceived as being good-looking, because I am now in my 30s, and throughout my 20s and during my college years, I would take jobs such as like hostessing and lifeguarding, and certainly with my hostessing jobs. And I remember that I felt like my looks did make a difference in terms of me being hired, being that I was the first person that people were seeing upon entering the restaurant. And but at the same time, I do remember that there was you know, one or two occasions where I started to feel that I was being sort of treated differently because I was good looking, and sometimes this included like unwanted sexual advances from managers and that sort of thing. And it just was a very uncomfortable situation for me because I always have conducted myself very professionally, and you know, I just started to feel like this was just in some ways a disadvantage, you know, as you said.
Well, Jessica Bennett, how, you know, I mean, Amanda is talking about a situation where she was a sort of front person for a restaurant. How, I mean, you know, I work in radio, and there's a joke, you have a face made for radio. But I'm wondering how these surveys differ from, you know, restaurant workers, people who have a lot of interaction with the public, and, you know, back office jobs where it might matter a whole lot less.
Well, the hiring managers did say that the vast majority said that they thought it was actually okay to discriminate against a person for their looks in a forward-facing job. So like sales, like secretary, like a lifeguard.
A lifeguard?
was just mentioning that because
for real?
Because that's what she said she worked on. But, you know, I think it's a little bit different when you're not in a job where your looks should matter. But also, you know...
Well, how much different is it? I mean, is this something that really does span across industries? And is the variation minor or is there a big variation?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell, but... I think that it matters across the board. It probably matters more if you're in a forward-facing position, but I do think that everyone is being judged on their looks all the time, and this is kind of the sad reality of our Barbified culture, plasticized culture, where we're obsessed with plastic surgery and Heidi Montag is plastered across every magazine in town. You know, this is kind of the reality of 2010.
Cassie from Yonkers, hi. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.
Hello. Love the show.
Thank you. Great topic.
And I just wanted to say I'm actually living this because what has happened, I'm on a job now. I'm qualified for the job. And the thing is, there's someone else on the job who is more qualified than me. She's been there for 3 years. But because she's, I'm very fit. Because she's, I believe, because she's not as fit, and she also has a negative bend towards everything, after being there for less than a year, it's like I'm approached more about things than her. And it's uncomfortable because it definitely makes for an uncomfortable environment with my colleague. So to kind of like try and encourage her, I've actually taken her under my wing in regards to fitness, to not be an adversary. But I definitely think that, you know, as I explain things to people, they're looking at my legs and then looking at me.
Feel great.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hello, up here. But in the meantime, it makes for a bad situation with a very good person, you know? So it can be, it just can be uncomfortable at times.
Well, Cassie, I'm wondering, when you say your colleague has a negative bent, I mean, do you think that that has been influenced by the way people react to her versus, say, you? Cassie?
No, I'm listening. Mm. Yeah, I think it could. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Jessica Bennett, how about that? I mean, how much are sort of attitudes wrapped up with the looks issue? And is there a vicious cycle or is that just sort of a coincidental?
Well, I think that part of the vicious cycle as it relates to women is that sexism still exists in the workplace. And so the halls of power are still largely dominated by men. So, of course, if you're an attractive woman and everyone who's doing the hiring is a man, you can't just remove sexuality from the equation at all. We're sexual beings. It's always going to be there. So, you know, when the day comes where it's actually equal, I mean, women may be making up the majority of the workforce now, but they're certainly not making up the majority of power, then perhaps this won't be as big of an issue.
I'm wondering, you know, in my experience, and this is totally non-scientific, but if you look at, say, politicians, they tend to sort of hire people that are similar to them in their most trusted positions. I mean, you know, Mayor Bloomberg, you know, sort of aggressive, you know, organized, combative. He tends to have a lot of people on his staff like that. Hillary Clinton, very smart woman. Lots of smart women tend to work for her. So I'm wondering, you know, how that sort of fits in with what you're finding about looks and sort of people hiring people of the opposite sex versus hiring people that sort of seem to be kind of mini-me's.
Right. I think that's definitely an element. I think that men tend to hire people who are like them, and maybe they're more comfortable with a man who's like them. But we have to break out of that. And, you know, you brought up politicians. This is perhaps the most prime example of women being scrutinized for their looks. I mean, would anybody comment on a male politician's cankles like they do about Hillary Clinton? You know, this is, we've discussed this to death, but it's still very much there. You know, Kagan was the latest example of this.
Let's take another call. Sarah from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.
Hi. Looks have definitely benefited me with my work, but at the same time, as an employer, I think it would be hard to see sometimes people making decisions with their looks and not thinking, okay, well, if they've done this, like, how is this? How do I know they're not going to make crazy decisions in the workplace? For example, like someone with really intense yellow teeth, or you know, something like that today, which in 2010 really doesn't cost a lot of money to correct, but some people just don't opt to deal with that. And yes, it's a superficial comment, but it's something that can be dealt with. And I think if you're dealing with anyone in sales or any sort of like perception issues of a company, you don't want to be dealing with that.
Right. And if I can just jump in, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons conducted a study and found that 13% of women said that they would actually get surgery if it made them more competitive at work. So people are definitely buying into this.
Sarah, what kind of field are you in, Sarah?
Well, now I'm working in a marketing kind of position, but I just want to say, though, it's so extreme as to go to a point about Heidi Montag. It's just about being put together. You know, a person doesn't have to be totally beautiful or totally handsome all the time. It's just about being put together, and that's a big difference.
Jessica Bennett, senior writer at Newsweek, could you untangle that in your poll, sort of how, you know, what Sarah is saying is sort of good looks are a signifier of being organized and attentive. And to what extent are those two factors wrapped up together? Or right. Are people using it, you know, as an excuse?
Well, you know, job candidates have always been counseled to dress up for interviews. You can't show up in a dirty shirt. But we really tried to distinguish by using language like physically attractive, unattractive, looks, things like that. And so what we found is that people are actually being judged on how physically attractive they are, not just based on whether they're put together.
We have a couple of comments on our chat page. Maza from Johannesburg, South Africa writes, I have a generally gender-sensitive and enlightened friend who runs an organization in South Africa. He recently told me he did not hire a qualified woman as his assistant because he thought she was really hot. He figured out that if he did hire her, he would have to give up the option of asking her out, so he preferred to give the job to someone else in order to be able to ask the cute woman out on a date afterwards. In this case, looks did not work to her advantage. And another comment from Ray, a question really, does race factor into this? There are good-looking people in each race, but there are different standards of beauty and sex appeal among races and ethnicities. Jessica Bennett?
Well, to the first point, you know, we've probably all heard the story about Deborah Lee Lorenzana, this woman from Queens who is suing Citibank saying that she was hired for being too hot. And now, whatever we think about her, she's quite a controversial figure. She raises a good point in that looks can hurt you. To the second point, we didn't look specifically at race, but I definitely see that, you know, if you look around, what we're seeing is this kind of white, skinny, model-esque ideal as the American beauty ideal. And so certainly we need to diversify.
Thank you very much. Jessica Bennett is a senior writer at Newsweek and co-author of the blog called The Equality Myth. And you can read about the survey in the current issue of Newsweek. Thanks so much for coming in to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll talk about hyper-local blogs and follow-up Friday after this.